Hi guys, welcome back. I hope you've been doing well. It's been pretty warm this week here in Michigan, and I don't know what to think about it because I don't want to get too excited and then be sad if it starts snowing again. But yeah, it's been really warm, so that's been awesome. It's been sunny, and yeah, warmness and the sun, it just makes me happy. But anyway, this week on my Instagram, I posted that there was a new logo for the Gospel and Love, and I let some of you guys help me choose which logo we were going with. And so all of you guys chose the second logo, and the second logo is what you basically see right now on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. But yeah, that's the new logo for the Gospel and Love. It's so nice. And but yeah, today we are going to be talking about loving our enemies. Guys, we have all struggled with this at some point in our lives, especially because the given state of the world right now. But loving your enemies is a very countercultural thing to do, but as Christians, it's a command. But still, questions are often raised on this topic, like, when the Bible tells us to love our enemies, what does that mean? Who said that? Why or how? And we're gonna talk about all of that today. So let's get started. So first, we're gonna start off with who tells us to love our enemies. So while I was preparing for this podcast, I just did some like deep digging into different passages and scriptures. So you can write these down and look them up later if you want, but Proverbs 24:17 and Proverbs 25:21 both talk about how to treat our enemies. But the obvious instruction in both of those passages as to why we should love our enemies comes from Jesus and when he gave his Sermon on the Mount. So you can also write down these two passages. Later, you can look into Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. But in Matthew chapter 5, it said, one of the verses, it said, "You heard it was said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies." Then in Luke chapter 6, one of the verses says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies." So in both of those passages, if you go back and do some digging yourself, which I encourage you to do, I really encourage you to not just listen to what I say and believe it right away, but listen to what I say and then go do your own research, go dig deeper on your own. But anyway, in both of those passages, it tells us that Christ is telling us to love our enemies. And the instruction to love our enemies is coming from Jesus Christ himself. The next is, how do we love our enemies? The how is the most important, because we are flawed, so we aren't able to love our enemies without the help of God. Because let's be honest, guys, when someone does us wrong, our like instant instincts isn't to show love. It's oftentimes do the opposite. I'll give y'all an example. The other day I was driving, you know, and I'm a pretty good driver, I think. I was driving and I had the right of way, so I started driving. And this person sped up in front of me and cut me off. Then they looked at me and flipped me off. And I was sitting there. I was like, wow. I was like, they really just did that. That was not necessary. And in that moment, I wasn't sitting there like, oh, let the Lord bless you. God loves you. You are amazing. You're made in the image of God. I was not thinking that. I was mad. I was sitting there like, why did you just do that? Is that necessary? I had the right of way. You could have just waited instead of speeding up. So I'm getting all irritated all over again. But just that's an example of our instant instincts when someone does us wrong isn't to show love. And that in that example, right away, I was irritated. I was mad. And I'm still kind of irritated, which I have to deal with. But just an example to show that because we are flawed, we aren't able to love our enemies or love those who do us wrong without the help of God. Hating or showing dislike to someone who does us wrong is what comes naturally to us. No one has to teach us to do that because we are flawed. And because of that, we need help from our Father. Guys, if we try to love our enemies, try to love those who do us wrong apart from the help of God, it's going to be a fake and forced love, not a true love. And when I say true love, I'm not talking about like the Disney movies of true love where the prince and the princess have like true love. I'm not talking about that. True love is loving someone regardless of like what they've done to you. That's my example. Having true love for someone is showing love regardless of what they have done to you and loving them, not looking for anything in return. Just loving them because Christ tells you to love them. It's only by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us that we have the ability to love our enemies. Because like I said, as humans, we are flawed. We are imperfect. So loving people who do us wrong does not come naturally to us. But it's only by the grace and power from the Lord that we are able to actually love our enemies. Guys, we can only love our enemies, love those who do us wrong, by turning to God and asking for his help. And let me clear this up. When I keep saying enemies, the whole title of this podcast is loving our enemies. And sometimes when we think of enemies, we're like, oh yeah, the bad guy in the movie or the people who want to do all these terrible things. But it doesn't always mean that. Our enemies could be maybe a bully at school or a coworker who like gossips about us. It could just be people. It doesn't have to be some big, powerful person. I hope that makes sense. The next thing we're going to talk about is, why do I have to love my enemy in the first place? Like, why? We kind of talked about this before. Christ told us to love our enemies. Christ, like I talked about at the beginning, Christ tells us to love our enemies. But there still may be the question as to why. There are two reasons why we should love our enemies. One, well, there are more than two, but the two that I'm talking about are, one, because God tells us to, like we talked about earlier. And the other is because God loved us first. Y'all, Romans 5:8 says, God showed his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I always think about this verse. God hates sin. He looks down on sin. But while we were still sinners, while we were still God's enemies, he demonstrated an immense amount of love towards us. He showed so much love to us by sacrificing his own son. And through his son, Jesus Christ, God's love brought salvation to us. So whenever you need a reason as to why to love somebody, remember, God tells us to. And the other is because God loved us first. Y'all, God did not have to send his son here to die for us. He did not have to sacrifice his son for us. He could have just let us go to hell where we belong. But he loved us so much. He showed so much love towards us. He forgave us and sent his son. So we should use that as an example. God loved us first, and God tells us to love. So that's why we should love our enemies. That's why we should love those who do us wrong. Next, we're going to talk about, what does it mean to love our enemies? Like, what does that mean? Does it mean to give them a hug? Does it mean to like give them presents and stuff? Christ tells us what it means to love our enemies in several places in the Bible, but in two places specifically that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to read these passages. The first one is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. So pull out your Bible if you want to, or get out the Bible app on your phone, but it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. And it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And the second passage we're going to be reading is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. It says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. So those are the two passages. And I really like those two passages. So those two passages are basically show us that Christ is telling us to be like our Heavenly Father, who is perfect and merciful and amazing. But at least for me, I know the word perfect makes me cringe a little bit, because I know that I'm imperfect and only God is perfect. So here's a little lesson. I did some research, more research than usual, but I kept thinking about the word perfect in those passages. So the word perfect in the original Greek means complete. So in the original Greek, perfect means complete. It comes from a word that meant to set out for a definite point or goal. So in these passages, Jesus isn't literally saying to be perfect, because that's impossible. He's merely saying that our goal should be to love like God loves. Our goal should be to love like God loves. He isn't telling us to be perfect, because He knows that as flawed humans, that's impossible. He's merely saying that our goal should be to love like God loves. Guys, Jesus brought up the issue of mercy a lot in the Luke passage. Most people want mercy. The Bible tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. Of course, we want mercy, because if we don't have mercy, then we're almost kind of screwed in a way. But giving mercy requires us to give up revenge and hatred and basically hand the judgment part to God, which is hard for us to do at times, because when someone does us wrong, we want to make sure they're punished for it. We want to get them back sometimes. But we need to leave that judgment part to God. Now, loving our enemies doesn't mean we allow them to treat us like crap and trample all over us. But what we can do is what is in our control to protect ourselves while trusting God to step in. We have to, basically, loving our enemies doesn't mean we let them trample all over us and treat us badly. We can still protect ourselves, but while we protect ourselves, we have to also trust that God is going to step in and handle the situation. We shouldn't be trying to take over or control the entire situation. And that's like speaking to me too, because I've shared this before. I like being in control of things. I like, there's no good way to put it. I like being in control of things sometimes. It's not, and that's not always good. There's some good parts of that, but there's also a lot of bad with it. And so I have to always remember and remind myself that, Alyssa, it is not your job to bring judgment on people. That's God's job. Yeah, when people do you wrong, you can protect yourself, but you also have to trust that God is going to step in and handle the entire situation better than you could ever do. Here's an example. On Sunday, The person who preached was named Mr. Ray. He is an amazing teacher. He teaches Bible study at our church also. And during his message, he said basically this. He's like, I'm not saying that I do this all the time. I'm just telling you what the word says. He said that. He's like, I'm not saying that I do this all the time. I'm just telling you what the word says. And that's exactly what I'm doing too. I haven't gotten to a point where it's so easy to love my enemies. It's hard. I gave you the example earlier when somebody cut me off while I was driving. I haven't gotten to a point where it's so easy to love my enemies. I'm just telling y'all what the word says. I'm telling you what the word says so both of us can work towards this goal of loving others like God loves. So we're going to close up, and I'm just going to close with these two points. The first is this. Loving our enemies means seeing them as flawed humans like us. Loving our enemies means seeing them as flawed humans who need the Father's love. Think about that. Loving our enemies means seeing them as flawed humans who need the Father's love. Second is this. Loving others, especially our enemies, flows out of knowing and having a relationship with Christ, because He alone is love. loving others, especially our enemies, flows out of knowing and having a relationship with Christ, because He is love. I hope you really took something away from today. Like I said, I'm still working on learning to love and show love to those who do me wrong. It's something we're going to have to work on till the day we die, honestly. We're never going to be perfect at this. But it's a process that we have to keep working towards. We have to keep working towards loving like how God loves. But with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the warm weather we've had in Michigan. And if it's your will, Lord, please let it stay warm a little bit longer. But thank you for this podcast. Thank you for allowing me to share my experiences, share your truth with so many people. Lord, please just encourage the reader to go off and do their own research and do their own digging so they can deepen their relationship with you that way. Lord, thank you for bringing the listener here. Thank you for sending your son, Lord. Please allow myself and the listener to stay curious. I say this every single week, but please just allow us to stay curious. Please convict us to get into our word more during the week, to share what we learn with others so we can have a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship with you. Thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.